So what I was hoping to learn is the sugya of man.
Oh yeah, we're supposed to read the man. We're supposed to read the man.
Right. Today is the man day.
There's still time, right?
Sure. Till the end of the day.
Okay, plenty of time. Okay.
So I'm going to read to you a pasuk in Chumash, and then we're going to try to understand the Ramban on that pasuk. So this is in Perek Tet Zayin, and it's pasuk Gimel. It's a pretty famous pasuk, and the pasuk says the following.
Let me just get a Chumash. I'm going to
okay,
get
great.
That I have.
Great.
I have it.
Great. He at Zion Gim. Okay.
Okay. Perek
so,
Ted Zion.
This is the Perek of the Man.
Yeah.
And the Ramban has long discussions about the Man. Most of it is frankly a beyond our reach. It's mystical calculations about what the man is. But I think what we could get from the Ramban on the study of man, is to get an understanding perhaps of what message inheres in the experience of man. So the Torah records, Vayomru Aleihem Bnei Yisrael. The children of Israel said to them, okay, we'll try to figure out to whom they're speaking, Miyitein Musenu Biyad Hashem Bi'eretz Mitzrayim Bishivtenu Al Sir HaBasar Bi'achlenu Lechem Vesova Kiotse Siv Kiotse Sem Osanu El Hamidbar Hazeh Lahamis Eskol Hakahal Hazeh Bera'ah. So this is one of the most serious, or shall we say, most profound complaints that's recorded in the book of Shmos on the part of Bnei Yisrael. And they come forward to Moshe and Aaron, and they say to them, you know what, it would have been a better idea had we died in Eretz Mitzrayim. At least there we were in the Sir HaBasar.
We got the meals paid for, right?
And here you took us out to the harsh wilderness, and here you are literally taking us and killing us by famine. You know, that's one of the, if not the most difficult disease that we can die from, so to speak. And what we want to see here is the use of the I want to get into the use of the word Am in the Ramban's understanding of scripture, of the verses, as opposed to Bnei Yisrael. Here in this pasuk, it seems to say Vayomer Aleihem Bnei Yisrael. The Ramban is of the opinion, and this is back in Perek Yudalid, that Bnei Yisrael is a phrase, is a term that's used in a positive way, as opposed to Am, which is kind of the, you know, the riffraff or the rank and file citizen, but certainly not Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael, for example, if you take a look back in Yudalid, and I think it's Pasuk Yud, I'm not going to look for it now. If you want to look for it, you'll see that Bnei Yisrael cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they ask, how do we deal with the fact that the Mitzrim are in hot pursuit? And in that presentation, the Ramban says that it's very odd, because if you look at the two psukim, one pasuk seems to indicate that the response of Klal Yisrael is prayer, the other seems to indicate that the response is one of complaint, Hamibli, Ein Kvarim, B'Mitzrayim. And in his presentation, the Ramban claims that there were kitos, there were different groups. The first group, which is called in the pasuk, it appears twice, the Torah emphasized that they were Bnei Yisrael. Those represent the group of Jews who are crying out to Hashem. The second pasuk, according to the Ramban, represents that group of people who are denying the prophetic stature or status of Moshe Rabbeinu. They don't embrace the Yeshua, the redemption, and they say, you know, it would have been better had you not taken out of Mitzrayim. The Ramban goes on to present the thesis that this group of Jews suspected Moshe of being very egotistical, and he wanted to become the leader of a nation, and that's why he fabricated the whole story of being a Goel and so forth and so on. But the main point that I wanted to get to is that in the course of this presentation, the Ramban says that if you look in Sefer Tehillim, it says Vayimru al Yom Biyamsuf. They rebelled against Moshe at Yamsuf, and yet here the Torah says in Perek Yudal that Bnei Yisrael Vayitzaku, they prayed to Hashem. Says the Ramban, that's Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael, says the Ramban, is Hatovim Shebahem. That represents the unique, singular, good, top, you know, the top-notch members of Klal Yisrael. V'heim Tzaku El Hashem. They actually cried out to Hashem. They're called Bnei Yisrael. Whereas the balance of Klal Yisrael, the other groups, they are called the Am. They are called the people. In fact, he says that later on, which we didn't get to yet, it says Vayiru Ha'am es Hashem Vayaminu b'Hashem Moshe Avdo. There it says Ha'am, and the reason for that is because Bnei Yisrael believed in Hashem and feared Him straight through. Vayiru Ha'am, those who at Yamsuf came to fear God, they were the Am. They weren't Bnei Yisrael. They weren't the Yechidim. They weren't the top echelon. They were the Am. They were the Hamon. Hamon Am. And then he refers to a pasuk in our the Perek before ours. We're in Tet Zayin. But if you look in Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Chav Dalet, which I would like to see if I could find with you. So we're in Tesvav Chav Dalet. We're trying to find that.
Okay, I
have this chumash where you have to turn, you have like three words on each page. Yeah. So there it says, Vayilonu Ha'am al Moshe. There they're complaining with the lack of water. It's a Ha'am. And the Ramban uses that pasuk as a proof that the word Am is a reference to the Hamona Am, that group of people that would constantly rebel and bitterly complain. You'll also find the Ramban proves this from Parshas Pinchas. The pasuk says, "Vayachel ha'am liznos," that the immorality of the Am. And the Ramban concludes his presentation by saying, "Kol makom shenemar ha'am." Whenever you see that the people of Israel called Am Lashon Gnaihu, that's pejorative. Kol makom shenemar b'nei Yisrael Lashon Shvachu. That's a positive appellation or description of Hashem. So of the people. So b'nei Yisrael is l'shvach, whereas Am is l'gnai. That reference to the lower echelons. And in every case, the Ramban says of a complaint of Bnei Yisrael, it's always going to be Vayilonu Ha'am al Moshe. Or, for example, in Parashas Chukas, it'll say Vayorev Ha'am im Moshe. And now, what we have to get back to is our Parasha of Man. And here it says Vayomru Aleim Bnei Yisrael. Miyutein Museinu Biyad Hashem Beretz Mitzrayim. Here's a bitter complaint about the lack of food in the harsh wilderness, and the people are described as Bnei Yisrael. Why is that so? So the question is clear. Again, if not for the Ramban, this would not be a kasha. But now that the Ramban has told us that Bnei Yisrael are the Yechidim Sheba'am,
and here it's Bnei Yisrael complaining.
Correct.
Okay.
So now, the plot grows thicker, because in the Parsha of Man, we find that you could really logically divide the Parsha into two parts. So if you start with Perek Tet Zayin that we're looking at, and you sort of you make a hefsek after the tenth pasuk, you will find that in the first 10 psukim, forming as it were a unit that ends with the pasuk, again, you know, in my chumash you have to keep turning pages, it says V'hine kvod Hashem nireh bi'anan. So this parsha of that comprises the first 10 psukim in Perek Tes Zayin really can be defined, or we can give it a name, and that is, it's the parsha of Tlunos Bnei Yisrael, of the complaints of Bnei Yisrael. And Hashem says to Moshe, in addressing those complaints, Hineni mamtir lechem lechem min ha-shamayim, and God promises that He'll bring down the man from Shamayim. And then the pasuk says, "Vayomer Moshe v'Aaron al kol bnei Yisrael erev v'yedatem ki Hashem hotzias eschem eretz Mitzrayim boker isem es kvod Hashem b'shamo es tlunoseichem al Hashem." So clearly, this section closes with the word tlunoseichem, which means that they are complainers. Now, from pasuk yud aleph to pasuk yud beis, we have what I would have to call a kind of a repetition. The pasuk says, "Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemar, shamati es tlunos bnei Yisrael." Now we just finished saying in pasuk tes in the first section, "Ki shama Hashem es tlunoseichem." What do the two psukim yud aleph and yud beis add to what we didn't know until now? And the Ramban himself addresses this. The Ramban says Moshe had already said this message to Israel above in pasuk ches, pasuk tes. Why was it repeated? Aval nishne, but it's repeated here b'avur shiomar, because it says in the pasuk shamati es tlunos bnei Yisrael. I've heard the complaints of Bnei Yisrael. Ki mitchila amar hineni mamtir lechem lechem. Right, Hashem responds by saying, "I will rain down for you the lechem in a shamayim." Ke ose imoim chesed birtzono. He is bestowing kindness upon them because of His will. O berzchusam, because of their merit. Vi ato with an ayin. Now he gid ki nechshav lehem liavon. Now he tells them that what they did was considered a sin. Right? Ki nechshav lahem avon. For them it's considered a sin. Ubavur atluna yase imoim kein. And Hashem is going to do the following because of this inappropriate complaint. Kidei sheteidu ki ani Hashem elokeichem. Ki ad ato einchem ma'aminim b'Hashem alkeich alkein atem mislonenim al nevir. So just to summarize, the Ramban understands that these two psukim, Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, are coming to explain what the purpose of the man is. Meaning, your complaints were not justified. They were inappropriate. It was a sin for you to complain. Now we need a second parasha in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki otzeisem osanu el amidbar hazeh lo hamis eskol hakol hazeh bara'av. And Hashem says, you know what? Now I'm going to have to bring lechem in a shamayim, In order that you will learn belief, you will learn faith. Because until now, you don't really believe in Hashem, your God. That's why you complained against his prophets. I now have to do something to straighten things out. And what am I going to do for you? I'm going to bring down the man min hashamayim in order that you believe in Hashem and in his Nevi'im. So that's what we need here in this section here, in this parasha. But now we want to ask the following question. In the first 10 psukim of Perek Tet Zayin, the Torah uses a language which would indicate that it's not really a sin. It's only now in Psukim Yud and Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, says the Ramban, that Hashem has to straighten the record about their complaints and tell them that what you complained was a sin. It was absolutely inappropriate. And that would seem to mean that the bringing down of the man has two different purposes. One purpose, as reflected in the first 10 psukim of Perek Tet Zayin, has nothing to do with emuna, with faith itself, but rather it has to do with something else, which we have to figure out what that is. And it's only the second parsha, if you will, of man, meaning the Yud Aleph Yud Beis psukim, that's where the purpose of man is v'yedatem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, in order to elucidate and demonstrate the emuna in Hashem. So the question we want to ask is, if there are two purposes to man, what is the first purpose? Because again, the Ramban says here in Pasuk Yud Aleph that Ad ata einchem maminim b'Hashem Elokeichem. The reason why you're complaining against the Nevi'im, says the Ramban, is because you don't really, really believe in Hashem Elokeichem. And that's why you came to complain against the Nevi'im. And now the man is going to come down, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in response, as a demonstration that Hashem hu Elokeichem, and therefore you should not complain. But what is it about the man in the first parsha that has its own independent, shall we say, goal or purpose? And let's look at the psukim, and specifically Pasuk Dalet that we started with. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hineni mamtir lachem lechem min hashamayim v'yotzom v'loktu dvar yom b'yomo. Hashem says to Moshe that I will shower down the rain, like rain from the heavens, the bread that you will eat from the heavens, and let the people go out and pick each day a portion on its day. And then the pasuk says, "Leman anasenu hayelech misorasi im lo," which means that the purpose of the man is a test to see if the people will follow in Hashem's teaching. So let's just summarize. We can take Perek Tet Zayin, the Perek of Man, and divide it into two parts. The first 10 psukim form one unit, and the second unit of two psukim is a separate unit unto itself. And these two units correspond to two different purposes of the Man. We'll go backwards. The second unit indicates, Moshe tells them that your complaints were not justified, they were inappropriate, they were a sin. Your lack of emuna, you're wearing your lack of emuna on your shoulder, on your badge, and therefore Hashem says, I will have to demonstrate emuna for you, and that's the purpose of the man. The first 10 psukim, on the other hand, don't indicate at all that Bnei Yisrael, by complaining about the lack of food and water in the desert, were guilty of any sort of sin. The purpose, rather, of the man, from the perspective of the first parasha, is Lamana Anasenu, it's a test. And the Ramban is very famous for saying that a test is meant to purify a person, to
make it better,
uplift a person, correct? And that's the perspective of man in the first 10.
Wait, if we took the sentence, if we took the pasuk that says that Bnei Yisrael were complaining, and we stuck it right before this pasuk Yud Aleph, everything would flow nicely. Is that correct?
Right, but again, we have an agenda because keep in mind that we're trying to understand the Bnei Yisrael element here.
Yeah.
Now, I want to point out to you that there's another question to be asked. Maybe it's a little bit less profound, but it should be asked in any event. In Pasuk Yud Beis, in which the Torah is presenting the second purpose of man, it says, V'yedatem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. And notice that indicates two different names of God. We have the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei name, which is usually indicative of Midas HaRachamim. And at the same time, we have Elokeichem from the Lashon Elokim, which seems to indicate the Midah of justice of Din. And that really, in a sense, fits in very well in the next Pasuk, which is Pasuk... Just one second. Where does it say Boker? Sorry.
Boker V'yadatem?
Yeah, what Pasuk is that? Oh, this Chumash is really driving me crazy here, but we'll survive it. And, here it is, I think. Pasuk Yud Beis. And it says here, Uba Boker, etc., etc., V'yadatem. Uba Boker, U'yadatem. And that does indicate...
Yeah.
Some sort of a harsh language, but actually, there's another pasuk with boker in it, which of course.
Yeah, there was another one.
Do you remember where that is? Re'isem es kvod Hashem. So, we'll see soon the context of that pasuk. Okay, then. There it is, pasuk. Pasuk Zion. Uboker Uriisem Eskvod Eskvod Hashem. There the name is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and that seems to indicate something a little bit more positive, if you will.
Oh no, so you can't stick that sentence later because you have the Tlunotechem already here that there were complaints. Okay.
Right. So let's just see what the Ramban has to say on man. Again, we're not going to go through all the Rambans on man, but the Ramban says the following, and this is in pasuk Vav. The Ramban says, "Va'nochon bi'enai ki hoya pela b'man gadol mi'od." Right, the miracle of the man was great. Ki haslav higiz oso minayam. God caused quail to be blown into the midbar from the yam. Beruach nasa meito kiderecha olam. So there's some sort of a wind. The Ramban is apparently, paraphrasing psukim in the Torah. There was a wind that went forth, Meito from him, with a capital H, Kiderecha Olam, in what appeared to be some sort of natural word. Avol man, in contrast, Notzar lehem ato yitzira chadosha b'shamayim, was created now for Bnei Yisrael as a clear, new bria, a new creation that was formed in heaven. Kinyan Maisa Bracious. It's as if God is now recreating the world. Again, not the entire world, but at least this entity called man. V'humasha omru bo, and this is what Chazal mean when it says shenivra bein hashmashos. That's a mission in the fifth parak of Avos. It says that the man was created before Shabbos, on the sixth day. U'lekach omer ha-kosuv, that's what the pasuk means when it says bo'os Asher yasa lehem ba'erev, bi'osa asher yasa lehem ba'erev, teidu ki hu otzi eschem eretz Mitzrayim, ki yaruch lachem shulchan ba'midbar, Aval bapela gadol asher yasalem baboker tirus kvod malchuso. Through this great miracle that he does for you in the morning, bringing down the man, you'll experience the glory of malchuso, of God's sovereign rulership. Asher mi el bashamayim uvaoretz asher yasek himasov ukigvurosov, which is the pasuk in Dvarim. Let's try to translate that pasuk the best we possibly can. He says that he will prepare for you a table in the midbar, and he will exhibit his power, and there is no such power in heaven and earth that can perform like God's mighty powers, God's mighty actions. So what is this Kvod Hashem? Kvod Hashem, in the Ramban's frame of reference, refers to seeing these miracles. That's the Kvod Hashem. Ki begdolos ubeniflos sheyaseh Hashem yeroe kvodo. Through these great and wondrous acts that Hashem performs, His glory is displayed. So again, just to summarize this Ramban, the bottom line is that the showering, the raining down of man was a revelation of a brand new creation in which God reveals His gvuros, His powers, His might, His niflos, His wonders and miracles, in which He presents His kavod so that the Jewish people can witness or can observe the glory of Hashem. So the question we want to ask is, that pasuk is in pasuk vav, and that would seem to indicate emuna, that from the man we get emuna, but then in that sense again it seems to be a repeat performance of what appears here in Pasuk Yud Beis, V'yadatem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. So why do we need both the Gilui of Kvod Hashem and the great miracle and wonder of man in the first unit of Psukim, in Pasuk Vav specifically, and then a repeat performance of V'yadatem ki ani Hashem, that through the man you will come to know and recognize Hashem, and that appears in Pasuk Yud Beis in what we call the second unit? And obviously, there are two different ways, you know, ways in which we have to understand this. One is in terms of the first unit, and the other is in terms of the second unit. So how does that all work? So now, let's remind ourselves of the Ramban and his understanding of Elohim. What does the name Elohim indicate? Says the Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, on the very first pasuk in the Chumash, Elohim is Baal HaKachot Kulam. He is the source of all power. And the Ramban says that the root word here is Aleph Lamed, which means Koach. And this word itself, the name of God, is Murkevet, is a hybrid of two words. And that is El, and then Haim. Let's see, what does the Ramban mean by El, Aleph Lamed, Haim, Haimem?
To them.
He says it's Ki'ilu El Samuch. It's like the El is attached. The Haim, Yirmos, Lechol, Shara, Kochos, Klomar, Koach, Kochos Kulo. So the power of all powers, the source and the origin of all forces in the universe, is the name Elohim. Elohim reveals the very special power of Hashem Yisbarach that could override and overwhelm all the other powers in creation. This name, it has a particular relationship to Bnei Yisrael. Why is that? Because Bnei Yisrael are related to Hashem more than any other nation on the face of the earth. In what sense? the divine providence over this particular nation of Bnei Yisrael is direct. It doesn't go through any intermediary. And this is the Ramban in Parshas Shoftim on the mitzvah of Tamim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha. And the Ramban there says that we have to designate at our heart in a single-minded way to God, Elov Levato. We should believe that He, Hashem, and only He, Osa Kol, Hu Ayodea Amitas Kol Asid, Vimenu Levado Nidrash Hasidos, Minaviyav O Mianche Chasodov, is the Urivitumim. Flo Nidrosh, we're not allowed to try to figure out the future from Hovrei Shamayim, those who read the stars, Omizulasim, or any other similar type of, horoscope readers and sorcerers, I don't know what they're called. V'lo Nivtach, Sheyavod Divreim Al Kol Ponim. We should never be convinced that what these individuals are predicting, as far as the future is concerned, will definitely come to pass. Aval Nishma Dover Mehem, if we hear something from these different types of magicians and predictors of the future, Nomar, we should say, Hakol Bidei Shamayim, everything is in the hands of God. Ki Hu Elokei Elokim, He is the power of all powers, Elyon Alakol, supreme above everything. Hayochol Bakol L'shanos Marechas HaKochom Mazol Kirtzono, and if He wants to change and alter the patterns of the celestial spheres, the Kochavim, the stars, the Mazolos, and the galaxies, Kirtzono, He can do as He will, as He wills it. And therefore He can always be Mefir, Osos, Shalbadim, Badoyim, I should say, Vekozmim, all these different people, that look into crystal balls and all the like, and they say we can predict the future. We have to know that God is capable of changing all the constellations in the sky. And therefore, anything that happens, we have to know that it happens because of Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis, and therefore, the Torah is very meticulous and demanding after telling us that we're not allowed to ask the Kozmim, all these kinds of magicians and sorcerers, Doresh B'Arachayim, those who kind of, they had some sort of magician, sorcery of going to the dead bodies and so forth and so on. But rather, our mitzvah is Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. So if we want to be Doresh the Asid and we want to find out what's going to happen, we can only do that Meis Hashem. We can only access the future, knowledge of the future through the Urim V'Tumim, through the Nevi'im of Hashem. And why is that? Because Hashem is the Elokei Elokim. He is the power of all powers above any other power. And even if there are powers that would indicate X, God can override and trump X, because He is the source of all power. And this is all inherent, says the Ramban, in the name Elokim. Elokim is the word or the name of God that includes within it our obligation to listen to the prophets, to the Nevi'im. And therefore, when Hashem reveals at the time of Yerida Saman, as the Pasuk here says, Pasuk Yudbeis, Shashem Hu Elokim, that God is Elokim, What he's really revealing is that he himself, capital H, he himself, in his very essence, will indicate or demonstrate the obligation that we have to listen to the Nevi'im, to listen to our prophets, and not to pay any attention to the Kozmin Lemineum. And then he writes that the second parsha of Man adds something to the first parsha of Man, because the second parsha of Man comes to tell you that all the complaints of Klal Yisrael were fundamentally based on mistakes, on toyos. They really have to listen, and that's their obligation, probably, to the Nevi Hashem. Hashem Yisbarach is the source of all powers. and he will reveal his, you know, the future or whatever he wants to reveal to the Nevi'im. And therefore the Nevi'im represent a true, genuine, reliable revelation of the will of Hashem. And all this is inherent in the man. The purpose and the goal of the man is Elohim, is to demonstrate that God is the source of all might and all the powers in the universe. And perhaps this could shed a light on that Pasuk Vav that we saw, V'yadatem ki ani Hashem. Just 1 second. Pasuk Dalet, excuse me. Leman anasenu. That God is testing us. So in other words, we've been saying all along that the second parsha of Man, that's Psukim Yud Alef Yud Beis, the goal and the purpose of that parsha is to reveal the sin of Klal Yisrael when they complained. But you have to also add now another purpose, and that is that Yiridas HaMan, the raining of Man from Shemayim, is not connected to their complaint at all. But rather, it belongs to the first parsha, and that is Leman Anasenu Hayelech B'Torasim La. God is testing us to see, even independent of and regardless of complaints or not complaints, how do we find out the future? God is testing us. Do we go to these Kozmim, to these sorcerers and crystal ball and stargazers, or do we rely on Hashem?
Where is that pasuk for Yomer? Leman
Anasenu is Pasuk Dalet here in Perek Tesvav.
That's right here.
Right here. And that's the purpose of the man. So again, what we're establishing now is a very major breakthrough, that the purpose of the man is independent of their sin. And why is that? Because Anasenu Hayelech B'Torasi Im Lav, that first and foremost Hashem through the man is going to test Bnei Yisrael. And this we find also in Chumash Dvarim, which is sort of like a review of what went on in the Midbar. And in Parashas Ekev, the Pasuk says, V'zacharto es kol aderech asher holichecha Hashem Elokecha ze'ar ba'im shana ba'midbar leman anoscha l'nasoscha l'das Es Asher Bilvavcha Tishma Mitzvosav Ulov. In other words, God takes the people of Israel into the Midbar, and there He tests them with Inui. Inui means affliction, because they don't have, in the harsh conditions of the desert of the world, they don't have access to food and water. And this is all in Asoscha, to test you, the people of Israel, Adas, and determine whether or not Eis Asher Bilvavcha Tishma Mitzvos V'lo. And that's why Hashem is going to bring down the man, in order to figure out if Bnei Yisrael are observing the mitzvahs of Hashem. And we're going to see this later, that that some of the people went out and they collected extra portions of man. And all this is part of this test that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being Menaseh Ladas Es Asher Bilvavcha. And that's point number one. The man is brought down as a test. But it doesn't end there, because the pasuk that we just saw before, Parshas Ekev, says, HaMachilcha Min HaMidbar. Hamachilcha man b'midbar asher lo yad'un avosecha leman anoscha leman nasoscha leitivcha bi'achrisecha. There's another purpose to the man, and that is leitivcha, to bestow good upon you bi'achrisecha. So it's not only to test Bnei Yisrael and figure out if they are indeed dedicated to the observance of the mitzvahs, but it's also meant la'ativcha ba'achrisecha, to bestow upon Klal Yisrael some sort of good towards the end of days. Now, the Ramban seems to be presenting A plus B here, and they don't seem to jive. They don't seem to be conjoined or related one to the other. You know, on the one hand you're talking about the Nisayon, and the other talk you're talking about Hatava Be'achrisecha, that the man is already indicative of some sort of compassion and goodness that Hashem is going to bestow upon Klal Yisrael Bachrisecha. So we want to try to combine and synthesize those two elements. And perhaps we could say, according to the Ramban, that the Hatova of the man itself is a result of the test of the Nisayon that Hashem is putting, he's putting the Jews to the test. The Ramban's language is the following: Ki kasher yaser ishes beno, sheyitein olav litovaso ol musar. A person, a father, will impose upon the shoulders the yoke of Musar onto his son. And that's the Pasuk Mishnah, Yaser Bimcha Ki Yesh Tikva V'Al Hemiso Ki Hashem Elokecha Miyasrecha. And there are two parts of this process, says Rabbi, Mitchila B'Inui Amidbar V'Nisayin Aman. First Hashem starts with the Inui, that means the affliction in the Midbar. And then finally, Nisayon Hamar. So the man. So the eating of the man in the Midbar is kind of like a Yiser. And again, Yiser means to, I guess, refine, if you will. And through the man, when Klal Yisrael enter into Eretz Yisrael, now they can appreciate the land of Israel, and that's called Lativcha Bachrisecha, so that the man maybe to some extent is a Yisur, a Yisurim kind of thing. It's because again the Pasuk says Ki kasher yaser ishes bino Hashem Elokecha miyasrecha. That's one dimension of the man, the inui and the challenge of man. But the good part of it is, the flip side of the coin is, that when they come into Eretz Yisrael after the experience of man, now they appreciate the wonderful arevus, you know, the sweetness of Eretz Yisrael. What exactly is Laman Nasoscha Lativcha Bachrisecha? So although it's not crystal clear, but the Ramban gives us a little bit of a hint when he says, Shelo yelahem lechem rak min ha-shamayim dvar yom biyomo. On a daily basis, they have no source of food. They can only rely on the man. And that is a tremendous nisayon, that on a daily basis they have to rely on Hashem to provide the man. And then he writes, Ulahativ lahem bachrona. And what's the end of this pasuk? After Lamana Soska, it says, Lativcha bachrisecha, Sheyaminu bo liolam. Notice they're going through, in a sense, a training period. That's something that you can appreciate. Training, right?
Yeah.
And but don't overdo it. So, and the training is to penetrate lachdir, how do you say that, to cause emuna, faith in Hashem, to penetrate deep into the soul and create an emuna which is now part of, if you will, the spiritual DNA structure of Klal Yisrael. Just like a father who raises his child, and sometimes he has to discipline his child in order that the son or daughter should be an upright and righteous person and moral person for the rest of their lives. So to hear, the man is a daily training and exercise in emunah and faith, and that's going to infiltrate into the very hearts and souls of Klal Yisrael, so that they have an emunah li'olam for forever and ever. Their complaint was a further proof and demonstration that they were lacking emunah, as we saw in the Ramban, and therefore there was even a more urgent need to find a method that would implant emunah in their very hearts and souls for all posterity, for all of eternity. And the man itself has an element of denial into it, of suffering to it. And but more important is that the man has an element of teaching emunah, of training you in emunah, because on a daily basis you have nothing to rely on in the case of Klaus or going through the midbar without any source of food except for the man. So when we have Lativcha Bachrisecha, Leman Ladas Esasher Bilvavcha Tishmar Mitzvosov Imlo, basically there are two explanations here, but they really belong to one. And Leman Anasenu Hayelich Bitorosi Imlo is going to be a training ground for Lativcha Bachrisecha Shiaminu Bo Li'olam. So right now, at this moment, the man is going to challenge Bnei Yisrael. Will they observe the law? Will they be dedicated to the mitzvah, the command of Hashem? But above and beyond that, we have a whole other element and dimension to the man. Its purpose is to engender within Bnei Yisrael emunah li'olam. And let me just read another few lines in the Ramban, and then we'll end at that. The Ramban says, "Ki hanisayin hu lahem shelo ya biyadam mazon." Their challenge, their test was that they have no guaranteed access. Right? There are no. You know, the cupboards are empty. Velo yira lahem etza bamidbarak haman. That they have no other way of surviving the famine of the desert without man. They never heard of man. Man is a brand new creation. They're literally starving for the man on a daily basis. Nevertheless, they were dedicated to the belief in Hashem. This is another example of the Ramban speaking out the glory of Bnei Yisrael. Lo makom lechem. They go into the midbar, which is a place that's completely devoid of bread. And that's why Hashem says, V'zacharta es kol haderech asher holicha Hashem olkecha zeh arboim shonim b'midbar l'man anoscha u'l'man asosecha l'das es asher b'lvach tishmar mitzvosim imlo. Says the Ramban, ki ayayocha lo licha b'derech ha'arim. He could have taken them through the urban centers, asher svivosem, which are very close to the area of the midbar. But rather, olicha b'midbar nachash sarafi akrav. That's also paraphrasing the pasuk in Dvarim. Shalom. But rather than take him through the urban centers where they go into a supermarket and they just buy their foods and their supplies, he took them into the wilderness where the only lechem, the only source they have is the daily man that falls. L'nasosam ulehetiv lem bachrona shiaminu bo li'olam. And that's the Ramban that we mentioned before, that this would instill within them an amuno li'olam. So the Yiridas Haman is not just a test, hatishmar mitzvosim imlo, ayelich b'torasim imlo, that's also true, but moreover and more fundamentally, even if we know that Bnei Yisrael would follow in the ways of Hashem, we need to instill in their hearts a strong emunah, faith that will take them throughout their terrible history, i.e. all the Golios. And that was an emunah that was built, that was developed within them on a daily basis for 40 years through the man. That's what I think the Ramban is saying over here. And let's conclude with one more Ramban, and that's the Ramban in Parshas Ekev, which you'll find in Dvarim Perek Ches in Psukim Beis and Gimel, V'zacharta Eskol Aderech Yomar ki tuchal adas sheyesh ba'asiyas hamitzvos tova shlema v'lo yet tzadik nezov u'mevakesh lochem ki Hashem mefarnes oscha b'midbar b'maise nes gadol ba'avur lechtecha achar mitzvosov. And here the Ramban refers to what he writes, as, and we've already seen in the parsha of Man here in Bishalach. Tam leman anoschal and asoschal adas eshavav gatishma mitzosim lo ki hoya nisayin gadol lehem shlo yedu lo yadu at eitzol enafsham v'ikonsu v'midbar gadol lo makom lechem v'en biyarem klumin aman afal yored dvar yom biyomo v'cham hashemesh minomeis v'yarivu elov ma'od v'chol ze asu lishmar mitzvos Hashem l'leches kasher yitzave v'Hashem ha'yachol olicham b'derech orim v'shar sivil seim aval evim b'nisoyin hazeh ki mimenu yivoda sheyishmu mitzvosov li'olam apirish ki asu zelodiyam ki hu hamachaya ha'odom b'chol asher yigzom ken yishmar mitzvosov v'chaya. Let's just summarize the Ramban, that the man comes down from Shemayim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to show them, in order to test them and see if they will observe the mitzvos and they will follow Hashem through the midbar and observe all the commands of Hashem, and then Hashem will know that they are committed to the mitzvos li'olam. The Ramban adds that the Yiridas Haman teaches them that lo alechem levado yichya adam, that a person's parnasa does not come through his ishtadlus, as we would think, but rather it's totally dependent upon his avoda. And the Yiridas Haman teaches this fundamental principle that the real machayas Hashem is the real machayas adam. What is the source of sustenance of man is Hashem, and then they learn this. And that engenders within them a certain level of emunah. And Hashem knows that with that emunah, He can rely on them henceforth to observe the mitzvos li'olam. They learned the lesson of the man. They understand that it is only through shmiras ha-mitzvos that Hashem will bestow upon them lechem and parnasa. Now they are bali emunah. Now they are reliable. Now they are definitely going to implement the mitzvos of Hashem. And we see something very clear from this Ramban, that once Bnei Yisrael understood, once they learned the lesson, that life itself is granted, is supplied as a quid pro quo reflection of the Shmiras HaMitzvos Hashem, and it's only because they were Shomer Mitzvosov that they would get Chiyus, they would get life. Then they were ready for Lishmar Es Mitzvosov Li'olam. That's the main purpose of Man Min HaShemayim for Am Yisrael. This Limud, this fundamental message that they have to learn, would strengthen them in Emunah for all Dorei Doros. And Hashem will rely that they will be Balei Amuna for all generations li'olam. And all this is lehetivcha bachrisecha, in order to good for you that you will have Amuna and Amuna li'olam, and a life of faith. And that's going to remain with the people of Israel forever and ever, all because of the experience of the man. And this recognition that life itself depends upon Hashem, depends upon a life of faith in which Bali Amuna understand and recognize that all of life is coming from Hashem. There's no real, true, genuine power inherent in the shtadlus of an Adam. That's not the Gorim, but rather it's Min Hashem. That is the message of man, and that is the greatest hatovah that Hashem could do for man, for Klal Yisrael. And that's what the Mishnah in Avos, in the second parak, when it says, Avizoyer b'mitzvah kalakim v'chamura, and the Ramban writes in Parshas Bo, And I think we've seen this in the past. Shekulam chamudos uchavivus mod shebechol shah adam modabahen lelokov. Every single mitzvah that a person implements is a recognition, an admission, by at least a tacit declaration that there is a God. The purpose of all mitzvahs is that we should recognize Hashem, we should thank Hashem, express our gratitude to our Creator. This is the purpose of creation. And the Rabban famously writes in Bo, Ein lanu tam acher v'yitzir rishona, there is no other purpose in the original creation. Ein lekel elyon chefetz betachton milvad sheyeda ha'odom v'yoda lelokov shebro. The purpose of creation is that man should know God and should express his thanks to Hashem. Kavonis Romus Hakol Bitfilos Kavonis Bate Knesios Chusfilos Rabim Zeushiel Ibn Eodamokum Yiskabtu Vyodu Lakel Shebroim Vim Tsiom Vyafarsimuzeh. The tachlis, the purpose of man, is to recognize briosecha anachnu. We are your creatures, your creations. And that very high level, if it's attained, in which we recognize this, that everything that happens and everything that we gain and we achieve comes from Hashem, and that it is all dependent upon our avoda, our level of observance of mitzvahs. If we live constantly, every moment, with that recognition of Briosech HaNachnu, then it means that the message of the man, Lo Alechem Levadu Yichya Adam, was successful in establishing in the very essence of Klal Yisrael, the very reality, the very existence as a nation, the Amunah, the faith in Hashem. And that's going to be Leolam. So that every moment they will live with that Amunah, they will behave by that Amunah. That will be their creed. That's the Atava Gedola, which Hashem promises, which will change and alter the people of Israel, the Olam, forever. The Amunah, which is the purpose for God, the purpose of man, is going to be clinched, is going to be established with the Yiridas Haman. So as a result of man, we are able to achieve the purpose of our existence at every moment. We are able to justify the fact that we were created because we exist and experience with this idea, with this knowledge that was acquired by Klal Yisrael, our forefathers, in the desert. Through what? Through the man. That's Laman Anasenu Hayelech B'Torasim Lo. That's Lativ Chavachri Secha. It's all one. It's what we call a Kinyan Emuna Liolam. It's an absolute eternal acquisition or possession of faith, and through this faith Bnei Yisrael are really justifying and guaranteeing the whole purpose of God's creation. So Yiratzo may be his will that we live on this level of Amunah Li'olam, having inherited this, bequeathed to us by our ancestors in the 40 years in the Midbar with the Yiridas Haman, and understanding and knowing that everything that we have and all that sustenance in our life comes from Hashem. Our forefathers, our ancestors achieved that goal by successfully withstanding that test. They got 100 on the test, and therefore we are the benefactors. We have that Amunah that was bequeathed to us by the Dora Midbar. And we should exist by that creed and live by that creed. And Hashem should give us the strength to do so. Kei Nirotzon. Amen.